Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Let's get our Bibles in hand and let's open to second chapter of Acts. You'll find on the back of the bulletin is today's message. We've actually been enjoying some time here as we look at what God is doing, not only with our theme at Hope Chapel, which is God's kingdom seen in 2017, but we recognize that God works through the church, God's people, the redeemed. And in that, we've been just enjoying how changed lives happen, and they change in church. So we've taken a look at this mini-series. It's entitled Hope Chapel, Where Lives Change. And we've been taking a look not only the aspect of the early church, but even what those things that they value, we value as well. So we've been looking at fellowship, we've been looking at worship, and today we're looking at the Word. And we're going to look at the aspect of this particular title of the message, Pursuing the Word of God. And we just recognize as well our mothers, even our mothers of the faith, how God has used all of us to display the Word of God, not only for us to take in the Word of God personally, but also just to highlight and to continue to encourage even the next generation, even ourselves, how we change by the Word of God. I mean, you know, there's just so much double talk that's happening today, especially politically. We are just not sure what to believe. Somebody will say something, and then they'll change that. It's just, there's a change. Like, what? I thought that they were going in that direction. Now this month, they've changed. So political words are so important. And so I came across an article that discussed politically correct words to use for politicians. So let me share some of those, just so we know about, because words, we're talking about pursuing the Word of God, but it's interesting how society changes things. I hope you'll enjoy these definitions. Here we go. No longer do you want to call somebody stupid. You now tell them that they are cerebrally challenged. Somebody's been in prison? Nope, you're a client of the correctional system, just a client. You're no longer ugly. You are now cosmetically different. Isn't that a nice way to say cosmetically different? Certain times of the day. How's that? If you're old, you are experientially enhanced. We never say old anymore. How about if you're unemployed? You are involuntarily leisured. I like that. You can take that for a while. And you're no longer dead. You can't say that. You are just simply metabolically different right now. Things have changed. So, how about if you're a shoplifter? Well, you don't want to change and challenge somebody's psyche, so you don't call them a shoplifter. You are called a non-traditional shopper. And you're no longer short. You're just simply vertically challenged. So, those words are important, but that's the joy of what I like about the Word of God. Wow, you can get into it. It doesn't change. Jesus said that. Heaven and earth will pass away. Matthew 24, 35, but my word shall not pass away. Same word you and I are enjoying today and have been enjoying. It's going to be the same word in heaven. So significant for us. But we recognize in America, we are finding people don't know the word. They don't know their Bible. They are having challenges sometimes coming up with things. Somebody once noted this, that if everybody in the United States were to open up their Bible and start reading it, that we'd have the worst dust storm ever in America. What do you think? No. That's why I'm so thrilled when I see you come to Hope Chapel or you pick up your Bible or you're going on your app and you're enjoying that. It was interesting that we have Gallup poll organization. They came along and they said that in a survey that Americans recognize two Bible verses beyond just the John 3:16, the other Bible verse that everybody's familiar with, 82%. That Bible verse isn't even in the Bible. It was mentioned by Benjamin Franklin, which is, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, but people think that it's in the Bible. Matter of fact, only 1/3 of those surveyed were even aware that Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount. 2/3 felt that it was probably somebody like Billy Graham. And we have over half of those surveyed, they could not even really say what the first book in the Bible was, Genesis. So we could say that America is biblically illiterate. And so when we take a look at this time sequence that you and I are enjoying, man, people change. We all want to change. But time in the Word changes things. And I want to thank you, each and every one of you, the way that you carry the Word of God or display it or engage it in small groups. So important for us. So we're looking at Acts chapter 2. We've been enjoying that time of the early church. We're seeing what's going on here and how that God works through the Word of God and that God works powerfully through the Spirit of God to the people of God. So change happens here in that setting called the church. Jesus is the one that named it such. He says, "This is my church. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." So he's going to build it. He's going to build you. He's going to build me. And he uses the Word of God. And we're always reminded, right, when Jesus cited in Matthew 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just before we get into reading the Bible, let me pray. Father, thank you, not only for just hearing just a mere message, but Lord, let your words come alive in our hearts. And Lord, remind us of those things that we heard once or maybe even taught others. Lord, bring back your word. And even now, as we enjoy the aspect of pursuing the Word of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through the end. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having fellowship or favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." This is the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. This is the day we could say the church began. The Holy Spirit came to earth, baptized those 120 in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in another language. We know the Bible calls it as another tongue or unknown tongue to the speaker. This is happening 50 days after Passover. Jesus, our Passover lamb. So Good Friday. And so we take a look at that aspect of what's happening here. And this early church was born. We could say church was born on that occasion. We know a couple of things that were happening. 3,000 people were added to the church. So from 120 to all of a sudden a mega church, 3,120. And this early church was saying, how are we going to mature and help these individuals, these new converts, to survive and thrive? They needed to do something. There was persecution that was happening at that time. There was a hostile environment. They were even making fun of that infilling of the Holy Spirit. They're all drunk. So when we look what's going on here, we see a couple of things, because the early church started to learn, and they started to learn the Word of God, and we recognize things that they wanted to enjoy. Let's take a look at three simple points here, but especially about the Word in verse 42. To grow, you must learn the Word. To grow. Look at verse 42 once again. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer." So we can see here the activities of the early church: apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. We've been highlighting those. But at the top of the list, check it out with me, the apostles' doctrine. Man, there can be those on occasion that are happening in our society that just try to make life work without any form of instruction. I don't know if you've ever come across somebody, they get a new apparatus, they don't want to read the manual, they just want to go with an experience. to some extent, that's how it can be with people who want to pursue God. Let me just kind of see if I can experience him. And I don't want to really know knowledge. I'm not interested in knowledge. I'll just see if I can kind of get him going and kind of work it out. That can be problematic. Boy, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people perish or are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So for us to come along and say, wow, can we just kind of work through things? Have you ever just tried to figure things out when you get something new in your home or some new electronic device and you're just going to push the buttons till you kind of figure it out? It's kind of fun. It's kind of like a Rubik's Cube. But when we look here, we see the importance of the Word. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So people can figure out God. They can experience God. There's no doubt about that. There are ways you can do that. Matter of fact, if you wanted to look at Psalm chapter 19, find Psalm chapter 19. If you were to take your Bible, by the way, and just kind of crack it right down the center, you'll land right on Psalms. Isn't that amazing? It's a very easy book to find, plus it's a whole lot of chapters in there. But Psalm chapter 19, one of the ways is you come along with creation. God reveals himself through creation. So we have in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Remember, knowledge. Man, we can know some things. That somebody with a lot of intelligence made everything. And it goes on and says that there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 really answers that question to so many people that say, well, hey, will God send somebody in maybe an impoverished or third world nation that will never hear any form of Christian broadcast or any missionary, will God still send them to hell? Well, Paul says they've got a witness through creation that God exists. There should be something stirring in the individual. Man, God exists. God is saying with those megatron stars out there in the sky, it's beautiful here in Huntington Beach, isn't it? Get to see all those stars. God's literally saying, I exist. I exist. I exist. So there'd be something within us. So through the creation, we can understand God. Yeah, that's one way. How about with the element of just our mere conscience, the moral law? Each of us, God has given us an ability to really know the difference between right and wrong. Man, if you don't know that yet, to be a better person, that's a pipe dream. But God's given you a conscience. You know what is right and what is wrong. And so even that. But the beauty and the great way is that we get to know God in his self-disclosure, the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? You get a chance to say, man, I want to have God disclose himself to me. Well, let's get into the Word. So when we look here to grow, you must learn the Word of God if you want to change and see what God is doing. So 1 Peter 2:2, which says, man, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So may the Lord instill within each and every one of you that desire. I love it when the Holy Spirit reminds me, Paul, you haven't read my Word for yourself lately. Now, I do a lot of studying for others. It's kind of fun that people will let me dig out the nuggets for them. But how about for myself? I need those things. I need to go after God's Word for myself. And I'm thrilled when we get a chance to be together, God and me. I love that. How about number two? If we're going to learn, we must hear the Word of God. So to grow, you must learn the Word. But how are you going to learn if you never hear the Word of God? So it was Luke chapter 8, verse 8, when Jesus was talking about the parable, he was just saying, hey, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. In other words, you're going to have to hear what you and I receive comes through the ear gate, so important. But let's take a look here at verse 42 once again. I'm back at Acts chapter 2. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, the apostles' doctrine, that's the modifier to that word, doctrine. When we look at that, the element of doctrine is this, that that's just solid, sound teaching, the modifier, the apostles' doctrine. Now, it's important that people get a chance to hear. I want to play a little clip for you about a little cute granddaughter of mine. Her name is Finley Harmon. She turned 2 10 days ago, and she's going to say, "Jesus rose, Jesus is alive," and sing, "Jesus loves me." Check it out.
He rose again.
Who rose again?
Jesus died on the cross.
Jesus died on the cross?
Yeah.
And then what happened? What happened after he died on the cross?
Jesus died.
And then he?
He rose again.
He rose again?
Yeah.
So he's alive?
He's alive.
He's alive?
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you know any songs about Jesus?
Yeah.
What song? Do you know Jesus loves me?
Jesus loves me.
Can you sing that for Mama?
Jesus loves me. And who died here? He still finally was. He was here. And my soul. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible says he's loved.
Good job.
Little Finley Harmon, and what a delight. Ainsley and I received that clip this week, and we're just thrilled. So she knows Jesus loves her because the Bible tells her so, but so proud of my son Luke and daughter-in-law Katie Harmon. But it really is something to remind us as well, that because if there are those that on occasion might say, well, I'll just wait till my student is graduated from high school and let them kind of figure it out, yes, no, maybe so. It's at an early age, is it not? Children can understand that. The truth is the truth, even if it can't be explained to a little person. They latch onto it. And that's why Jesus says, boy, the heaven is like this. How, Lord? Let the little children come, for such is the kingdom of God. So I want to maintain my heart toward the Lord, and I'm just thrilled when we get a chance. They stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and that's an important thing. It wasn't just any doctrine. The word doctrine, again, solid teaching, sound teaching, but it was the apostles' doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines that were going on in that day. There is the doctrine of the Pharisees, very legalistic, extremely legalistic. There is the doctrine of the Sadducees, man, extremely liberal. But there was the apostles' doctrine. One of the things that was important is that those early believers used scriptures to speak, to preach. They didn't just come with an experience. They didn't come with an opinion. Matter of fact, on the day of Pentecost, let's take a look at Peter's message here, because we have something that's going on in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 14. In Acts 2, looking at verse 14, we see where he comes along and says this, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" So now he's going to bring in the word. What you're experiencing, something can be explained from the word of God. That's what he's doing. He's bringing in the word. What's going on? The Bible says this, verse 17, and he's quoting Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, Verse 28, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He goes on and mentions that. There's another time in the passage too, because they're saying, who was this Jesus? Why did this happen to him then? Then he comes along and verse 23, he's going to bring in another scripture. Man, that's just good way of declaring. If we're going to grow, we must learn the word. If we're going to learn the word, we've got to hear the word. So look at verse 23. Then he says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. God knew it was going to happen. Where did God know it was going to happen? He starts to cite Psalm 16:8. What happened to Jesus? The Bible talked about it. Man, that's important. That was the way when we talk, what doctrine? Any doctrine? No, they stayed in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed in the Word of God. They did not have the New Testament at this setting. They were going to become the New Testament, but they didn't have that. They didn't have the Matthew or the Mark, the Luke or the John. They had the Old Testament, and when they shared what was happening with the experience of the day, they brought in the Word, and they applied it. This is what's going on. So it's an amazing thing, and he talks about that listed in verse 25, 26, and 27. Well, God's power is displayed and can change lives, and the Word of God is so significant for that. But we have to hear, do we not? Like that in Romans 10, verse 14, where it says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear about him unless a preacher is sent? So I want to commend you, friends. Thank you for sharing the word, not just in life, but man, to learn the word. And how does somebody learn the word? They've got to hear the word. So significant. And you might come along and say, well, you know, I try reading my Bible. I just don't get it. I just start and stop and have those challenging moments. I just kind of put it aside. That's why I come to Hope Chapel. Paul, you help me understand the Bible. Well, I just want to encourage you. Keep going. Keep at it. God wants to disclose things to you. He knows what's going to happen in your life in the very near future, and he will tell you. Don't stop. I like coaching people just that way. Man, why don't you go find out what God's saying? Then you and I will reconvene, and let's just see if that's the heart of God and line it up with the scriptures. I've started my coaching a long time ago. It started when Ainsley was in the delivery room. Somebody had to be her coach. I volunteered. I even took some good training, the Lamaze class. How many have ever known and remembered the Lamaze class? So here we were, all three of our children at Ainsley. She's an amazing gal. Never an epidural. No medications at all. I just saved a boatload of money on her. I just thought I'd... Now she'll take me by the scruff of my neck. When we see how wonderful our daughters do with a little bit of efforts. But I remember being there right in that delivery room after 16 hours. I just want to boast on that, Mama. And there we were, and she's, oh, breathe, honey, breathe. And we'd go through it, and just she'd breathe with me. She'd say, and I'll breathe, breathe. Hey, did you see that? Have you ever done that? Is it great? I mean, I'm sure people are walking by the door saying, listen, they've got rappers in there. I mean, it's just amazing. And then all of a sudden, Ainsley said, I can't do this. Oh, babes, the babe's coming. You're going to do this. Ah. So that's my coaching. Just thought we're having a great time. You say, I can't do this. You can. You can. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. How important it is, because God wants to speak to you. To grow, you must learn. To learn, you must hear God's Word. Number three, to hear, you must obey the Word. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 again, verse 42 really is where we kind of camped out here. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That word steadfastly in the Greek is to attend constantly. To attend constantly. Man, how are they going to survive as a church? They'd have to stay in the word, the apostle doctrine, the Old Testament, learning. Can you imagine if any of them says, you know, yeah, we started off with the apostles' doctrine. We were going to the apostle church. We're kind of like tired of hearing from Peter and John, so we kind of like moved on down the line. That's kind of like saying, yeah, I'm really kind of tired of mom's home cooking. I think I've gone on to junk food and really expressed. Just come on. They continued steadfastly in the word. When we look at how important it is for people to hear the word, it was important to Jesus. Matter of fact, if you have your Bible, would you find Luke's gospel? Let's go to the left of where you're at. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 27. In Luke 11, verse 27 and 28. In Luke 11, 27 and 28. I remember seeing this a while back because I was taught to revere Mother Mary. And so it says here, verse 27, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, moreover than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let's take a look at that again. More than that, blessed are those who what? Hear. Are we talking about hearing? Hear the what? The word of God and keep it. You're more blessed if you hear God's word and keep it. You're more blessed than Mother Mary. Now Jesus said that. Blessed are those who hear my word and obey it. I'll tell you, that's where it's at when it comes right down to wanting to learn. Can't learn without hearing. And you can't really hear without obeying. There can be those times, and often can be, we all have voices coming at us. And it seems in our society, more voices are coming and they're telling us the exact opposite of the Word of God. We have to be careful about that. We need everyone to keep knowing the Word of God and helping one another hear from God. There can be those times when people say, well, I just don't. You know, when I crack open the Bible, I get nothing. As if people are looking for a jolt of adrenaline. You know what I mean? I'm going to open up. Okay, God, here we go. Nothing. I'm done. As if they need an energy drink. But we need to stay at the Word of God because it's like taking vitamins. You take a vitamin, you take vitamins, maintain that pattern. You don't expect one dose to maintain your stamina, your health, your strength. No, to improve, it has to be over a season. Man, obey the Word of God. Keep at it. God makes His Word so available to us. May it be a priority for you and me. So glad when we get a chance to encourage one another. If there ever is a time that we stop hearing from God, you may want to take a look, as I have often, and realize that I have not obeyed God. And it may not even be that big of a deal, but sometimes it is for me, because I know the Lord spoke things to me, and I want to hear God's voice. I remember how often the Lord deals with my pride. Certainly was a big deal. God and I were having at it in Banning. God was doing some big things there in Banning. Not only structurally, we were doing well as a church and purchased a Christian Science church and turned that into a community youth center, purchased lots, turned that into a parking lot. The city knew who we were, opening doors for us. I was feeling like I was important. You know how that is? I actually started believing everybody's words about me. You're awesome, Paul. Thank you. You don't want to say, I know it, but because of God's favor and grace, nothing we did. But the Lord has to remind me about that, and he did, especially when I wasn't hearing his voice. You could look at the aesthetics and say, yep, God's favor, but I'm not getting anything on a daily basis. Dear Ainsley, just grace was all over her all the time still. She's just so genuine, but Lord used her to open up in Banning, called our Parent Site Council. And she was the head of that. And with that, the clergy were allowed to go on campuses. Amazing step. The Banning High School, two lunches. And we were there to mingle with the students, a lot of students. We couldn't proselyte, couldn't tell them about Jesus unless they asked. And so we'd hand them out candy, and we'd have a large audience. It was a lot of fun. One day, Ainsley says, Paul, this campus is so littered with trash, and I'm telling you, I don't think anybody found a trash reciprocal ever there. And Banning is known for its wind, and the wind blows all of the lunch trash against the chain link fence on San Gregorio Avenue. San Gregorio Avenue leads to the road camp. It's a medium security prison. And everybody knows that the road camp sends the workers to clean up the trash. So Ainsley says, let's go pick up the trash. And in my humility, I didn't want to do it. And I remember Ainsley says, let's go do and pick up that trash. And no, honey, I'm going to stay around the quad area. I'll pick up the trash there. No, all the trash is here, Paul. No, you go. Why did I not want to go? My pride. I was thinking, once again, somebody might see me pick up trash. I'm important. Not hearing from God, but I'm going to stick in my importance. So you can imagine, this is how fertile my little imagination is. Can you imagine picking up trash along San Gregorio Avenue and a mother loaded with a SUV all saying, hey, isn't that Pastor Paul picking up trash? Ooh, I wonder what he did. Or somebody else coming down. Kids, listen up. You better pay attention to your mother or you're going to end up like that man. So I go pick up trash around the quad and make my way right in front of the principal's window because I want to be seen. And that's when I heard from the Lord, Paul, what are you doing? I'm picking up trash. I'm humble. No, you're not. You're picking up trash to be seen by the principal. Well, it was just, those are times, and I will still, there are certain things that I will do just to maintain that approach because God knows my heart. I want to learn. I want to hear the word of God. I want to hear the word of God so desperately that sometimes I've got to make sure I'm obeying the word of God or it seems like heaven kind of closes off. Because the last time he and I visited, I said no. And God may bring me right back to that area where I said no. Let somebody else do it or I'm too afraid to step into that arena. I want to change. I know you do too. Well, I want to encourage you. Well, we welcome our worship team up. One of our children, you know, the direction that we have, sometimes like, Lord, what direction should I go? I'm looking for a direction. And we just don't know. It reminds me of our youngest child when she was 4. But she had to go to the restroom. She wouldn't tell anybody. She'd just get off the seat and start going right to the bathroom. But the problem was in the restaurants. When all of a sudden, I gotta go. She'd just pop off her seat and start going down the aisles, running between the chairs. She knew the destination she wanted. She just didn't know the direction. We'd have to go get her and say, come. And sometimes that could be the way a person is. We know our destination. I just want my life to matter. Or I just want peace. I really want somehow a breakthrough to happen. We know the destination. We just don't know the direction. So we're going to fumble our way through. You know the destination. You know what you want. Physical health. Good friends. A good reputation. Those are all great destinations. Sometimes we don't know the direction. And we're running down aisles. Never really knowing. And taking a long time. Until somebody says, let's gather around the Word of God. Let's see what Jesus says about this. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet right now. Let's sing this song together. I'll be back to pray with you. Before we close off this segment, I want to pray with you. And one of the things that I've often found, like I journeyed with you over my pride episodes, which continues to resurrect, there could be other things as well. And oftentimes I have to ask myself, how much pain, Paul, do you have to go through to really make the proper adjustments and changes? Because I want to respond quickly to God. I don't really want to have some major catastrophic illness episode that zeroes me out. I have no activity anymore. I'm now bedridden. I want to respond now to God. I always want to be. Lord, just speak. And then Holy Spirit, you're called the helper. Help me. Help me. I always want to learn. I always want to hear. To maintain that hearing is by obeying. So let me pray with you right now. And if that's your heart's desire as well, let me lead you in this simple little prayer. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge today my need for you, my need for your word, and my need for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wash me clean. For the many times I have set you aside, feeling that you are not as important than my own agenda, I change for your glory. Help me now, Lord. Lead my life in such a way that I will learn your word, keep hearing your word, and you will help me to obey. All for your glory. in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Let's thank the Lord for that, shall we? Let's thank the Lord. I'm going to invite you to be seated.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.